Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, to another fun edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews. I'm William Memo. What's up, Max?
Good, man. What's going on, Will?
I'm doing all right. You know how it is. You know the deal on the show: sports, entertainment, whatever you want to talk about. You know, in the sports, man, that's the only thing where. You know, there's dynasties and upsets.
Yep.
And, it, you know, as sports would tell you, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. So, you know, anything is possible in sports. That's why we watch it, you know.
Got that right.
So, you know, of course, it's pretty much a slow week. You know, spring training just, the pitchers and catchers just reported. We're going to talk a little NBA. We're going to mostly talk a little NBA with the possible 2010 signings with the Knicks finally, you know, getting under the cap due to the Tracy McGrady trade. Thank God for that, you know.
Yeah.
We'll definitely talk about that. You know, we'll talk a little pro wrestling, too. I mean, it's pretty much a slow sports week. So, you know, bear in mind, you know. You wanna, if anyone's listening out there, you know, feel free to give us a call. 1347. What was the number? I forgot the number.
I think you're giving out my number. The number is 917-388-4189.
Could you say that again? Rewind the tape.
917-388-4189.
You know, give us a call, you know, if you want to change stuff up, if you want to. That's a free country. But, you know, I guess we'll kick it off with the biggest thing that happened this week would be, of course, the trading deadline that passed and gone away. And to me, the winners, one of the huge winners of this NBA trading deadline is, of course, I'm going to say the Knicks.
Got that right.
With the trade and the great. What was that?
We cleared cap space.
Oh yeah. We acquired Tracy McGrady and Sergio Rodriguez, who both made their Knick debuts yesterday. Of course, you know, it was in vain. I know you don't feel like talking about it, but you know, it's a slow week, man. Not much really happened.
I mean, that was a good trade.
Yeah, it was a great trade, but we shall see. You know, the problem with the trade is, you know, is that we gave up the 2011 pick. We're gonna swap picks with them unless if we win the lottery, the overall lottery, and then the 2012 one, it's lottery protected until the top five. If it's anything other than the top five, they keep the pick.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I got mad about was the draft picks. I mean, draft picks like that.
Yeah, but we got with this now we're because of the trade. Thank goodness we got rid of Jeffries. Now we'll be able to pursue two superstar free agents.
Yep.
Whether it's LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, or Chris Bosh. Or maybe even wait until the year after that when Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, you know, become a free agent.
And Bosh and LeBron, that's who we should get this off you. Bosh and LeBron.
Yep. Absolutely.
Especially LeBron, because that's who everybody's looking forward to get, coming here. But it was a good move. I mean, the Knicks, they cleared a lot of space. Now they're one of they're one of the top contending teams to get these free agents this upcoming summer.
Oh yeah. And I want to give credit to I don't know this guy, but I was reading this this article before we this show got on. So I guess I'll give this guy a shout out. Chris Reyna from RealGM.com. He was giving, you know, possible scenarios about NBA free agent scenarios. And, of course, you know, the obvious one is, you know, LeBron James and, you know, Dwayne Wade or Carmel or Chris Bosh for this year. Or this unlikely scenario would be the, as I believe he called it, the dream team. Let me see exactly what it was called.
Dream team. That was maybe we could have the dream team. LeBron and Bosh comes here.
Yeah, like the ultimate dream team, like it, having LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Like they somehow split, you know, this but they're gonna get paid in three. Which would be highly unlikely. I mean, if these guys are really committed to winning, the most likely scenario is, you know, having LeBron and a superstar, or, you know, having LeBron and a role player like, let's say, Rudy Gay or Brandon Haywood, Jermaine O'Neal, Marcus Camby, which is a familiar name in for Knicks fans, Raymond Felton, Luke Ridenour.
Yeah.
Jordan Farmar from the Lakers. T.J. Watson, I'm not really familiar with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, J.J. Redick, the former Dookie.
That guy could shoot.
Yeah, he could. But he's kind of like, you know, He's like, you know, like Eddie House, who we acquired in the Nate Robinson trade.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can never, I guess, have enough, you know, guys off the bench who could jack up a three.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like having a power hitter off the bench. You know, in baseball.
Yeah, and you know something, like, if Tracy McGrady plays great this year, maybe we should bring him back, don't you think?
Yeah, because before he played, he made his debut, he was saying that he's willing to, you know, he's willing to come back, you know, for the minimum salary, which I would assume would be around $1 million or maybe a little over a million, and he'd be willing to play with the superstars.
Yeah.
So that would give us another option, you know, one option.
Yeah, having him play with LeBron and Bosh, maybe, I mean.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And he played great last night. He had 27 points or something like that, right?
Yeah, like 26.6 assists. And
yeah.
He was dominating. He had 19 points in the first half. He really put on a show.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, the game was so, you know, the first half. I mean, it was like, it was awesome. I mean, I haven't seen the Garden buzz like that. I mean, probably the last time I've seen. Yeah. Since the Rockets, right?
Against
the Rockets. Oh, yeah, it was rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last I could think of a time that the Garden was buzzing like that was, I mean, of course, you know, after the, you know, the playoff, you know, era would be, for me, would be, whatchamacallit,
for me, it would be WWE singing that Raw.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, because I was thinking about when we first got the Marbury trade, because everybody was getting excited about that. Of course, that didn't lead to anything except for disaster. But other than that, like you said, WWE when Raw was in
the Garden,
and MSG, yeah, it was buzzing. It looked like a postseason.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of excitement.
Yeah,
I mean Randy Orton. I mean, you could make a case that like Randy Orton came to the Garden last night.
Mm-hmm.
Saw people was acting. DX,
yep.
John Cena. You know?
Yeah, for real.
So the Garden, it was a lot of excitement.
Yeah, man.
And you could tell McGrady was pumped up too.
Yeah.
And taking erratic shots. Some of them went in, some of them didn't.
Yeah. And Wokai Frazier, man, he really looked excited.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying, I don't know if you heard that, but he was saying, like, when he did that layup, he was like, ooh, just McGrady with the rugby baby. And then he's like, oh, let's look at that replay again. Whooping and dooping with that rugby baby. He literally said that. I'm like, what the heck? And then he's like, look at the crowd. He's arousing the crowd. I was really pumped up for the game, just as, you know, every other, you know, Knicks fan was watching McGrady's debut.
Yeah.
The game was going great. And then afterwards, the second half, especially like the fourth quarter, I remember telling you this yesterday when we were watching the game. It was like, man, it seemed like a five and a half hour game, man.
Yeah, it was a long game.
It was like two. It was like a doubleheader or something. It was like the game was even longer than it was before. It was like almost like I forgot watching. It was like I was watching a totally different game, the way how it was.
Yeah, I mean the teams were trying to get the lead. There were a lot of lead changes. And the game eventually went into overtime.
Yep.
Man, nobody could stop this guy.
Yep.
He's like a new version of Tracy McGrady.
For real.
Guy shooting threes. He's like, what, 6'10 or something? And he's shooting threes, jump shots all over the place. I mean, no Nick to guard him. You could have put a blindfold on him, and he still would have made the shot last night.
Oh, yeah.
But we lost. The Knicks lost, so.
As usual.
a bad introduction for McGrady.
Yeah. Promising
I mean,
game.
He scored 27 points, though. So.
Yeah. A promising game that ended just like all the typical game ends. But then it's a loss.
Yep.
Another depressing loss.
But, you know, I think, McGrady will play well, and hopefully the Knicks can win at least 30 games this year.
Yep.
At least
30. Well, they won 32 last year, so I think they, you know,
yeah,
they should be in a, yeah, I guess they could win a couple of more games, you know,
yeah.
Maybe 35 tops. Because this team, man, they still can't
I mean,
play any defense.
If they win, like, only 20, then that's a step back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
They need to win at least 30.
For real. But because of this trade, you know, the future looks bright for the Knicks.
Yep.
They could pretty much go after any play they want. I mean, well, the player has to, you know, be willing to you know, come over here. So, you
yeah,
know.
I wish I had a time machine so I could just fast forward to the summer.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what's going to go on because, especially if LeBron comes over here, I'll be a lot more optimistic about this, you know, the future of the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm praying for a first-round exit by the Cavaliers. That's gonna need a lot of prayer right there.
Oh, man. If that happens, then, you know, he's definitely going to come to either the Knicks or the Nets if they get eliminated in the first round.
Yeah, but I mean anything's possible. But I think if he's gonna come all the way over, if he's gonna come all the way over here, I think he'd come straight to the Knicks. I mean, sure the Nets, you know, they could potentially draft John Wall, who he is apparently, you know, buddies with,
mm-hmm.
and that could help the Nets in their favor. But I think if he's gonna take the chance to, you know, to come all the way close to New York, I think he'd go to New York and try to, you know, put his I mean, even if he has success with the Nets, it's still going to pale in comparison kind of like with what he could have did as a Knick. Kind of like
right.
with the big three
mm-hmm.
that the Nets had, you know, a couple of years ago in the early 2000, you know, with Kidd and Carter and Jefferson.
Yeah.
You know, and Kenyon Martin. Those, you know, as great as those teams were, I mean, you know, they were the superior team, you know, of the last decade in New York, you know, of the New York basketball teams. But, you know, Knicks have always dominated the town. So it was like, you know, no matter how great the Nets were, the Knicks losing were the bigger story than the Nets winning.
Yeah. You see, yeah, but even when Nets go to Brooklyn, they're not going to generate as much buzz as the Knicks do. I mean.
Yeah, because Knicks is New York. When it comes
yeah.
to basketball.
And the Knicks have more history.
Yeah.
And a loyal fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some bandwagon. There are, you know, a bunch of, you know, bandwagon, you know, Knicks fans because they are the premier NBA team, you know,
right.
in town. But, you know, there are a lot of loyal Knicks fans. You know, like, you know, me and yourself, you know.
Yeah, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I'll never jump to the bandwagon for any team.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, we have the Knicks have the Knicks City Dancers. The Nets have that stupid werewolf. Man. Whatever
yeah,
that thing is.
Sly. It's like a werewolf or something.
Oh, is it a coyote or something? I don't know.
I have no idea what it is.
Fox?
I don't know what it has to do with New York, New Jersey. I mean, I don't know if there's any wolves or hyenas or whatever the heck that mascot is.
I have no idea.
I mean, but the Nets, you know, I give them credit. You know, they do have some fine, you know, dancers on that, you know, on the cheerleaders that I've seen.
The Nets have cheerleaders?
Yeah, the Nets have cheerleaders. I've seen one of them was going to marry Richard Jefferson.
Oh, okay.
And then he, you know, on the wedding day or wedding night, he not wedding day or wedding night, like saying, you know, the day before the wedding or the same day he set her up or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, but that was like last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I never knew they had chills because, I mean, they're so bad. I just thought they had that thing with the werewolf matchup.
Nah, they got they have cheerleaders. I think all the NBA teams have cheerleaders.
Oh, well, I know the Bulls have like these fat guys.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and Nets also. Now that you remind me, Nets not only have those real cheerleaders, they also have cheerleaders that are over the age of 60. I'm making this up.
Are you good looking?
The 60-year-old ones.
Yeah.
No, they look at least 70 or 80. But the real cheerleaders that they have, you know, the ones I've seen, you know, they don't look bad at all.
Because you know, well, there, you know, there are some 60 and 70 year olds that don't look that bad. So, just saying.
But hopefully, you know. You know, Knicks, you know, make the right decisions in this offseason. Well, this catch switch they got.
They better get LeBron, or I'm just going to be a fight. Yeah, fans get a riot if the Knicks don't get LeBron, man.
Yeah, but LeBron gotta want to come here, I think. I think he does want to come here. But then again, every time when they lose, you know, the way how they lose, you know, without playing any defense, it's like, you know, I get more pessimistic. But then again, most of these guys aren't going to be here. There's only going to be four people on this roster as of right now who's you know, guaranteed to be on the roster.
Yeah.
Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, unfortunately Curry, and Tony Douglas.
Yeah.
And we can relax now because Jeffries is traded. And now next year, Curry becomes, finally, after all the 4 or 5 years he's been on this team, Curry actually becomes an asset because that $11 million off the cap is now trading. You could trade for someone who's comparable of that contract. So, you know, most likely you could get a decent player, you know, with that salary, to match that salary.
You know, I can't wait to get rid of this guy because guy hasn't played recently, has he?
No, I think did he only play like 3 games or something?
I think so. I remember when he first came back, you know, the team was winning a little bit, but
yeah, right, exactly. I remember that. Actually, he literally played 3 games. I think he played and what's his name? Jerome James, I think, before he got traded last year. I think he only played 5 minutes. He was literally getting paid $1 million a minute before he got traded away.
Mm.
And in the trading deadline, when Knicks was thinking about trading Allen Harrington for Tyrus Thomas, who's also a free agent, and Jerome James, remember him?
Yeah, that guy's a bum.
Yeah, because Jerome James, his contract also expires at the end of the year.
Jerome James with the team right now?
Who, Knicks or?
Jerome James.
With the Knicks?
Yeah.
No, he got traded, I believe, last year.
Oh.
The trading deadline.
Oh, okay.
I think when they traded away Malik Rose, he got traded in the deal, but I'm not sure. But he definitely got traded, I believe, at the trading deadline of last year.
Oh, yeah, that's another fat ass who can't do nothing.
Yep, another bad memory.
Seven-footer badass who can't do nothing.
And, man, the guy got grossly overpaid because of that one playoff series he had when he was still with the Seattle Supersonics.
Yep.
Now, ironically, the Oklahoma City Thunder, which happens to be the same team or franchise, if you want to consider it that, that you know, whooped the Knicks' butt last night.
Yeah.
But
lost last night was devastating.
Yeah, it sure was. McGrady really played his tail off. It kind of showed you, kind of made you envision, you know, what it's like to have a superstar on your team. You know, So they were practically double-teaming McGrady, you know, all night long,
yep.
which, of course, leaves a man open. So, you know, it was a good start for McGrady, hopefully. Of course, it's not going to be – the guy played 32 minutes, but this guy hasn't played in months, and he played very well for a guy who hasn't played in probably 8 games this whole year.
Yeah, I thought he was going to come out a little rusty, but he was making most of his shots last night.
Yeah, if you remember the first quarter, he was kind of timid. When he got the ball, the fans were cheering, you know, anticipating his first points as a Knick.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept passing the ball, you know, to like Suhan or Lee or anybody, you know. It didn't look like he was trying to force the situation. Maybe he was a little timid out there.
Yep.
And afterwards, that second quarter, man, he just went on fire.
Yeah. Like you said, they were double-teaming him, and, you know. And at one point, he took over the game in the first half.
Yeah.
But in the second half, he did cool off a little bit.
Yeah, he definitely did. He scored about 7 points the rest of the way,
mm-hmm.
including halftime. I mean, including overtime. So he did kind of cool off, but... You know, as usual, lately the Knicks, you know, they put on a lead, then they blow the lead. The other team, you know, gets the lead, and then they have a shot, a chance with the last minute. All they had to do, they were down by 1 point. All they had to do was score in any fashion, and they would have had the lead.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing they could have did was have a 1 point lead. And the problem with this team is it's not fundamentally sound. When they're down a point, they're trying to shoot a three. When they're down by three, they're trying to, you know, make a shot and get fouled. But, you know.
They can't play defense. If they want to win the championship and get LeBron, they're going to have to learn how to play defense.
Exactly. But I think LeBron, I think Walsh is going to give him the keys to the team. Hey, LeBron, pick whoever you want to be your teammate. You direct who you want to be on this team. I think that's the way it's gonna go down.
Let's just hope we could get LeBron. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Get LeBron. But hey, if we don't get LeBron, you know, there are some decent players like Dwayne Wade, or you know, Joe Johnson, or you know, wait and get Carmelo, who's another you know franchise player. I mean, all these other players other than Kobe. I mean. They pale in comparison to LeBron, but, you know, it's all up to him. We did everything we could to try to get him. All these
yep.
superstar players are always saying for years, oh, I love the Garden, you know, it's the greatest place, it's the Mecca, and all this stuff. And then, you know, no one wanted to sign a mid-level exception, you know, when they had a shot to come over here as a free agent, whether it was Kobe Bryant or whoever. So we shall see. Now we have money to, you know, sign any players. We could sign two superstar players to a max contract. And if these three players, you know, this dream team, if we have the ultimate dream team and have these three guys, the big three guys of this free agency, they all, you know, have the team concept and, you know, split the money that they would, you know, each of them would have been having. Hey, you know, this would give us a even better trio than the one in Boston.
Yeah, you're right.
LeBron is truly about winning, and these guys also, then they should do it. But we shall see.
And as far as LeBron goes, I would have every celebrity in New York trying to talk to him to get them to come over here.
Yep.
I'd have Jeter, A-Rod, Mark Sanchez, Eli Manning, Donald Trump, Woody Allen, Spike Lee. Every
yep.
celebrity in New York who lives in New York, I would have them talk to him.
Yeah, for real. They should do that.
The mayor, Mayor Bloomberg.
Especially the Yankees, because, you know, he's, you know, supposedly a huge Knicks fan. Rather Yankee fan, so.
Yeah.
You know, his friend, he happens to be, you know, fans of teams that, you know, also happen to have, you know, dynasties, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
If he comes to the Knicks, if he comes to the Knicks, maybe the Yankees should give him a role as a pinch hitter. You know,
I'd sign up for that. I'd sign up for that, even though I don't have any
or
love for you
runner.
For your team. But hey, I'll take that as long as LeBron is wearing number 23 or number 6, as he's alluding to, that he's going to change his number next year, regardless what team he plays for. So, hey, as long as LeBron, suits up in a Knick uniform, hey, I'm good for anything he's going to do. Dude, hey, if you sign on the contract and it's on the contract that says we have to catapult Eddie Curry out of New York, hey, I'm done with that too.
I would do that in a minute.
Hey, I think we should end the show and do that right now. No, I think we have to wait until LeBron or these guys sign.
Yeah. And man, I know you're gonna miss Nate, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna miss Nate. I mean, I know Nate can be a head case at times. Doesn't play defense well. He's not a prototypical point guard, but the guy, he was a character. He had charisma. He was an energetic guy. He was like an underdog. He played with a chip on his shoulder, which you're not liking in a player. And he's gonna be missed. But getting at Eddie House, he's a great 3-point shooter. He provides the energy just like Nate Robinson, but he's more consistent and he's playoff tested. So that trade should work out since he played with D'Antoni in Phoenix, and D'Antoni loves this guy. So the trade so far, he played well yesterday,
yeah.
So it should work out.
Yeah, Nate is going to join a winning team now.
Yep. You stole the words right out of my mouth. And for Nate, he gets the opportunity to actually play for a championship.
Yep.
So a good trade for both parties.
Man, the Knicks and Celtics, they used to be like big time rivals.
Oh yeah.
And that's why it's hard to, like, these days, I know like they have no problem trading with each other, but I doubt they would have done this deal like, let's say, 30 years ago.
Well, yeah, of course. I think this was more of a thank you from Donnie Walsh to Nate, because Nate, he was a good soldier for the team, even when Donnie Walsh benched him for a month, he could have, complained and act like Marbury and Larry Hughes and start complaining and, but he was a good soldier, he didn't, sure his agent did talk for him, but, it wasn't him that talked. I mean, of course, he had an idea his agent was going to talk most likely, but,
yeah,
for the most part, he didn't, he still professed his love for the city and the organization, so he didn't, he didn't really, do anything out of line, like, Marbury did last year. So I guess that was his way of rewarding him by training to a team and giving him a shot to win a championship. Because I don't know if you remember when they were giving these rumors that he was going to get traded to the Celtics like a couple of months ago. I was like, hell no, man. Hell no, I'm not going to try to help the Celtics win a championship. But, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, you got to deal with it.
Yep.
And Nate is going to, Nate is a fiery guy. Fiery, emotional guy, and he's going to play with another fiery, energetic guy in Kevin Garnett. So.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to brush off on him, too.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to watch over there in Boston.
Yeah, it definitely will be for a Celtics fan.
Yeah. Not for a Knicks fan.
Yep. How many games we play against them? One more or two more?
Probably two.
Yeah. So he'll get his... Nate Robinson will get his standing ovation from the fans.
Yeah, he should.
And he comes back. Yeah, he has. He should. I mean, he got traded. Sure, he did say before he got traded that, if he gets traded, he'll only accept the trade if it's Boston, Lakers, or Orlando Magics. But, he didn't leave as a free agent. And he played with, all his, with all his emotions, he, so He'll definitely get a standing ovation. Sure, he didn't win any titles or any All-Star berths or anything like that, but I think the Garden fan crowd will, you know, give him, you know, the respect, you know, he deserves.
Well, he won 3 slam dunk titles.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
I mean, other than his intensity and love for the, you know, for the team, the only tangible stuff he brought was the 3 slam dunk titles.
Man, if the last 30 years the Knicks haven't won any championships, but we won 4 slam dunk titles. Man, crazy.
Nope.
4 slam dunk titles to 0 championships.
Yep. 3 All-Star berths in the past, what, 9 years or so?
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's been a hard time for the Knicks, and the Knicks fans.
Hopefully it'll get better.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it all starts with what they do in the free agency.
Yeah.
Come July 1st, because unfortunately we traded away our pick in the NBA draft. So we shall wait and see. Hopefully Utah won't win the lottery.
And those draft picks are protected, so next year we better win.
Yep. You know, before this free agency come, man, the most important thing that happens before that is, will Utah win the lottery that we should have won?
Yeah.
Nets deserve to win the lottery, you know, due to, you know, them practically about to set the record.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Utah has that draft pick, our draft pick.
Yep.
Man, we gave away too much draft picks.
Yeah. You miss Jordan Hill being in the trade?
He didn't play that much, so I don't know what kind of player he's going to be in the future, but
yeah,
we just have to wait and see what kind of player he is.
Well, I was kind of intrigued to see what kind of player he would become if he was given the opportunity, but when this trade scenario came by, I was like, hey, why not? He's not playing here anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But, man, there's a lot of people who's not going to be on this roster next year. Who's going to fill the roster?
Oh, it's gonna be Salinari, Chandler, Curry, and Tony Douglas, and
yeah, but there's some other we need to fill up the
remaining
spots.
So yeah, there has to be what, like 12 people on a roster minimum.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're gonna fill out with a bunch of, you know, like veterans who are willing to sign for less money and D-leaguers.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, maybe they'll finally give Patrick Ewing Jr. a shot.
I don't know about him, but
because he was on the team last year, and he never even made an appearance.
That's true, but I don't think he'll be his dad anytime soon.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not going to make any All-Star appearances anytime soon. But it'd just be a nice sentimental thing. Give the guy, a shot to live in his father's footsteps, playing for the franchise, you know, he grew up rooting for. Not
yeah,
a kid.
He's a son.
Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be real exciting at the Garden, hopefully.
Man, if we get LeBron, I'm buying tickets right now. I know that doesn't make any sense, but hey.
You're not going to be the only one. The day he signed with LeBron, man, it's going to be crazy in at the Garden.
If we get LeBron on mine tickets later today. I know it doesn't make any sense.
Trust me, Knicks fans understand what you're talking about. Been a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
Long time. Hopefully, the light's at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But, just keeping my finger crossed that Utah doesn't win the lottery.
I hope that don't they have like a 2 or 3 spot right now in the West?
Yeah, but unfortunately they're getting our pick.
Oh yeah, so if we finish last, they'll get it. So
well,
we have to hope that the Knicks don't finish like in the top bottom.
Well, at this rate, they're going to the way how they're playing, they're gonna most likely be there unless they go on a surge.
Yeah, that's true. But I think there's some other teams being like Nets are at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some other teams?
Timberwolves.
Oh yeah. No, I'm talking about Timberwolves, yeah, you're right.
You're talking about in the Atlantic or just overall?
I was thinking of East, but yeah, it's the whole NBA.
Yeah, 76ers.
I think the Sixers have a slightly better record than us, don't they?
Well, yeah, of course. Pistons.
Yeah, looking at it, we might be in the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of horrible teams, but we might make it into the lottery. Did I say 76ers?
Yeah, you did.
there's a lot of horrible teams in let me think. What other horrible teams are out there?
Clippers.
Yeah, that was about to pop in my mind. They're not as bad as they used that they have been in the past, but they're still bad.
Oh yeah, horrendous.
Yeah, and this last decade, man, we've been the Clippers of the East.
Yeah.
Bad signing after bad signing after bad trade. Ridiculous.
It's
Isaiah's fault. Yeah, it's Isaiah, Scott Layden. Hey, we even have to go back to Dave Checkets, you know, by trading away Patrick Ewing, and this is what started all this horrible over the cap, you know, stuff that led to the downfall of the Knicks.
Yeah, now Donnie Walsh is trying to clean all this up now.
Yeah, he's pretty much cleaned up most of the waste.
Yeah, he's pretty much done the job.
Yeah. All you gotta do is get a superstar or two to come over here. Crossing my fingers, maybe 3. Who knows? But if he could do that, you know, he could be a championship contender.
We're good.
Yeah. Because, man, it's been a long time, man.
Long time waiting.
2001 seems like a long time ago. And of course, like we've mentioned before, yes, Knicks technically went to the postseason in 04 against the Nets, but me and you, of course, agreed. That doesn't count. That was by default.
Already the team sucked in the East.
Yep. And don't listen to Isaiah Thomas when he said the infamous welcome to the playoffs speech. Because we did get welcome to the playoffs, and then before we could say welcome to the playoffs, said goodbye to the playoffs.
We got swept by the net.
Man, when we were down 2-0, man, I remember it so clearly. That I was like, you know, hey man, there's no way we're gonna lose, man. We're the Knicks, man. You know, one of the storied franchises. There's no way we're gonna lose. We got at least steal one game. We got at least win one game. Well, I was wrong.
Did we lose 3 games or 4 games?
4. 4.
Yeah. That's I'm trying to think of what year when they made the first round 4 games. You have to win 4 games.
Yeah, they did that they did it around that time. Maybe 03.
Okay.
03, 02. Maybe even 04 to kick it off, maybe.
Right.
But, yeah. I liked it the old school way when it was 3 what was it, 3.377 or was it 3.577?
It was 5.77. 5.777.
That's what I meant to say. 5.557. Because, right, the WNBA has the three.
Yeah.
And when I was saying three, I mean 3 out of 5. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's what I meant to say. If you had to win 3 out of 5, but
I like the 7-game series better because, you know, it doesn't allow these teams at the bottom to win.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it brings a predictability. You know, the unpredictability of sports. You know, any team, you know, just like look at the 99 Knicks. You know. The 8-seed team, the first 8-seeded team to reach the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but the Knicks weren't really an 8-seeded team that year. I mean,
well, yeah.
That year they only played, it was a 50-game season because of the lockout.
Right.
And the Knicks won, what, how much did they win, like 29 games, 27? So, you know, they weren't really an 8-seeded team, you know.
Well,
although they were seeded 8th, but they were, you know.
Yeah, it was in our fourth season.
Than that.
Yeah, it was in like a 482-game season.
Yeah. If there was an 82-game season, they probably would have won 50 games that year.
Yeah.
They were a better team than their record.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sprewell, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson,
Larry
Patrick Ewing,
yeah.
Gamby. That was a pretty good team.
Yeah, unfortunately for them, Patrick Ewing injured his he fell on his arm and that took him out of the finals against the Spurs, which they dominated us, man, because we didn't have that big guy, you know.
Yep.
We didn't have the intimidating presence with Ewing, you know, and the Twin Towers with Duncan and Robinson, man, they just dominated us.
Yeah, no match.
I still get nightmares, man, of the last play of the game when Free was trying to go for the shot and there's like 4 Spurs, you know, pounding it.
Yeah, I have that in my head too. Can't get it out.
Yeah. Man.
Yes. Rio had a good postseason that year.
Yeah, he sure did, man.
Him and Allen Houston.
Yep. Hopefully there'll be, you know, more memories.
Hope so.
But speaking of another New York team that's trying to get their way back, you know, to winning ways, it's the Mets. You know, they signed another catcher. I mean, they lead Major League Baseball with, what 5 backup catchers? I mean,
Jesus Christ.
they can't get any more backup catchers. But besides that, actually, you know, like the signing of Rod Barajas. I mean, he's not a great hitter. He's a .236 career hitter, so he's not going to win any batting titles. But he does have pop. He has he hit 19 home runs last year. So he's kind of like a poor man's Benji Molina. But the most important reason why I think I like the signing is because, you know, it's a one-year, $1 million with incentives.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's a great defensive catcher, and he catched Roy Halladay last year, so maybe he might have some insights to what he's gonna throw at a certain stuff against when we're facing him, you know, when we face the Phillies. So hopefully that could prove dividends. That also gives Mets one of the best defensive tandems in baseball with Barajas and most likely Henry Blanco backing up.
Well, ESPN was covering the Mets. They were talking about the Mets today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess they're over there right now at the Mets spring training facility.
St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll check that out, after the show.
Yeah. The Mets, I mean, they didn't do very much this offseason.
They sure didn't, except other than Bay.
Yeah, they should have got they didn't address the pitching situation.
Yeah, with
pitchers.
Yeah, got lucky.
So, you got, I don't know, what's, the Mets are a question mark entering the season.
Yeah, Wilpon, Fred Wilpon, of course, the owner of the Mets, he, when the reporters were asking him, you know, about how he feels about, you know, the Mets, you know, the failures, you know, these past couple of years, especially 09, he was saying, it, you know, it was torture. But yet he didn't, you know, do anything to address the pitching situation.
Well,
but we shall see.
He doesn't really run. He doesn't really. I think if you read that article, who wrote that article again? That article where it says Manaea doesn't really have control over who he, what players he gets.
I think that was Peter Gammons one.
Was that Peter Gammons? No, I don't think it was Peter Gammons. It was that guy from Fox.
Ken Rosenthal.
And he was saying that, you know, Manaea doesn't really have control over, they don't want to give him control over what players to get, what players to sign and stuff. You read the article. Remember we were talking about that?
I don't remember if I did. I might have. That's been a while ago. I don't remember.
It was a recent article.
I must have missed it. I must have heard about it, but
I talked to you about it. It was saying that how the Wilpons, they don't they've taken some control from Manaea. Really, he has his hands tied. He really can't sign the players that he wants to because the Wilpons won't let him. I think the article said something about that, but.
Which would also explain why he didn't give Benji Molina that extra year, or even really he'd even pursue John Lackey.
Yeah.
So yeah, there might be some truth to the rumor.
And I think the Wilpons, I mean, they lost some money from that
the Madoff Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. So that plays a little into it too.
Yeah. Hopefully, Mets will surprise a lot of people. You know, the role they were historically born to play, the role of the underdog, and hopefully shock everybody because there's a lot of pessimism in, you know, in Citi Field due to the, you know, how the Mets have played since the NLCS of 2006.
Well, the Mets have to shock the Phillies. That's who they have to shock.
Oh, yeah, they definitely got to shock the Phillies. And
the
other teams, because the other teams improved their pitching. Even the Nationals improved, so they really gotta step up their game and play winning baseball, or else a lot of people are gonna be losing their job. Like Manaea and Manaea.
Oh yeah, and the Phillies are expected to win the division again, so Mets have to prove those naysayers and prognosticators wrong.
And the Philly fanatics.
Yeah.
But another team that's, you know, another, speaking of the World Series rivals of the Phillies the past year, we're of course talking about your team, the Yankees, trying to repeat.
Yep.
And try to take their 28th championship.
28.
According to Joe Girardi, who's keep changing his number every year, you know, every time, you know, he's trying to get a championship with you guys.
And win that 28.
And then it's going to be 5,025, and he's going to be changing his number to 100. Number 100.
Well, right now, the Yankees are looking good. You know, right now, they address the pitching, the back end of that starting pitching, and they replaced Damon with Granderson and Johnson, and they got Randy Wynn. Right now, they're looking good, but, you know, of course, the season hasn't started yet, so we'll just have to see how they perform when the season starts, you know. I know on paper they look good, but, you know, it comes down to when you step on that field and you pitch and you hit.
Yeah. You don't win on paper. But,
yeah.
I think the you know of course Damon officially signed with the Tigers for $8 million, 1 year $8 million. But other than pitching, I definitely think you guys improved on the pitching, especially reacquiring Vasquez, who you had 6 years ago. That definitely improved the pitching. But the offense, I think it went down a notch because you guys lost two clutch hitters, MVP of the World Series, Hideki Matsui, and Johnny Damon, who's been clutch. You know,
yeah.
Who's a two-time champion with the Yankees last year and the Red Sox in 04, which infamously or ironically hit the, of course, the grand slam off Javier Vasquez.
Yeah.
Series, which everybody remembers.
Yeah, well, as much as offense, you know, the Chiefs love the long ball. They do.
Yeah.
But, but the pitching is what wins the pitching is what wins
the game. Yeah, and you guys definitely improve, and you guys are definitely gonna be contenders again.
Yeah, well, on paper it looks that way, but like I said, you have to wait to see how they perform on the field.
Yep.
I don't want to be too much of an optimist, you know. I might jinx the Yankees.
How can you not be an optimist? You guys won the title, man.
Yeah, but I don't want to jinx them, you know.
The fifth time in your lifetime.
Yeah, but you never know. Anything can happen. Baseball.
Yep, you're right about that. Well, switching gears here. I heard that in TNA, Hogan's coming out of retirement.
Oh, he's gonna wrestle now, huh?
Yeah, he's rumored to tag team with Abyss and go against Ric Flair and AJ Styles, who's their, you know, top young guy in TNA, who they model him after Ric Flair.
Man, and you know, what's his name? Abyss. You were telling me that his character now on TNA is like a wuss.
Yeah, they're making him into like this Eugene, if you guys are... you know, for people who's not familiar with, you know, professional wrestling, Eugene was a character who was played by this guy who, his character was pretty much, he played as a, you know, a special, you know, guy, if you know what I mean, you know.
A retard.
You know, well, I didn't want to, you don't want everyone to come and attack you for saying that, but, you know.
Oh, you can say it. There's nothing. That's the medical term, mentally retarded.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't want to, you know, offend anybody.
No, it's not.
Realistically. But, yeah, well, he is.
Term.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is true. But, yeah, so he's kind of acting, Abyss is kind of acting like that, you know, pulling out his hair and, you know, reaching on the top of his lung. And this guy, he looks like, he has the height and size of Kane from WWE, and he wears a mask just like Mankind. He still wear it when he was in WWE. He's like a hybrid of both wrestlers. So now they're making him into like a, you know, like this, you know, like cowardly, you know, character. But now Hulk Hogan gave him his whole Hall of Fame ring, which he got from WWE when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. So he gave it to him, and he said that he told Abyss that he's gonna have the Hulkamaniac from all over the world on his side, you know, pulling for him, and he's gonna be 10 times the man, 10 times the champion that Hulk Hogan ever was.
Wow.
So it looks like they're gonna, other than AJ Styles, it looks like they're gonna push Abyss even higher, back to that championship level.
Man, and the TNA is gonna be competing with
WWE.
Yeah, on Monday nights now.
Yeah, they're officially going back to. I mean, they're gonna move it permanently starting March 8th to compete with Monday Night Raw live every Monday.
That's big. That's big.
Yeah, it's big. And another big news is that we saw last week was that WWE is going to drop the Survivor Series, and they're going to drop even more pay-per-view events like the Judgment Day and, man, a lot, like at least four. They're going to have new ones, I think, by the name of, like, Wild Card and Fatal 4-Way, Steel Cage.
Man.
It's going to be crazy, these titles. These titles are stupid.
I don't know
what WWE's thinking.
Yeah, that's messed up what they did.
These titles are unimaginative. I don't know what they're thinking. If they keep this up, they're gonna I'm just, you know, excited that the possibility, you know, my favorite wrestler, he's most likely gonna come back in the summertime. Hopefully he'll challenge Shawn Michaels if Shawn Michaels come back, because Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, just like they did last year, are going to take a year off. I mean, not a year off. They're gonna take time off between WrestleMania and Survivor Series. So hopefully, I mean, not Survivor Series. I mean, SummerSlam. And hopefully they'll finally happen, a match that should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll happen. Because right now, Rock is saying that he's not going to wrestle again. But then again, there's been other points he's hinted that for the right storyline, he might come back. And, you know, the NXT, that new show that's going to appear on Tuesday, it's going to, maybe that might be the show that Rock was hinting that him and Vince McMahon is working secretly behind.
Oh.
So who knows?
Yeah, well, you're past your time. I try to play the music from the switchboard. Right now, it doesn't look like it's going to work.
Well, I want to thank you, Macaulay, for coming on the show.
No problem.
Appreciate that. I want to thank the listeners. If you're still listening and not sleeping right now, I want to thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. See you guys later.
See you guys. Bye.